Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. On a certain Sabbath, Jesus went to the synagogue and taught. There was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath so that they might have something on which to charge him. But he realized their intention and said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up, stand before us." And he rose and stood there. Then Jesus said to him, I ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than to destroy it?" Looking around at them all, he then said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was restored. But they became enraged and discussed together what they might do to Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. We begin a big week in the church, all heads toward Saturday, in which we will celebrate the exaltation of the cross. Everything we do in the Christian life is meant to be a glorious cruciform focus. But particularly this week, we're able to live it. We're able to live it with the readings today. We'll be celebrating St. John Chrysostom, who suffered so much. We'll be talking about the Holy Name of Mary and what she had to endure with her heart being pierced. We'll remember all those who died on September 11th. The cross will be our focus this week. And we get started by what St. Paul says in his letter to the Colossians, one of the most important passages for us to get right. "I rejoice in my sufferings," he says. Sufferings can also be a moral good, even though they're an ontological evil. They can be a cause of joy greater than the cause of pain. "I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake." Here comes what is normally poorly translated, as it is today. "And in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church, of which I'm a minister." Sometimes when we hear a translation this way, in which the phrases are a little bit out of place, we can think that there's something objectively lacking in Christ's sufferings. Christ didn't suffer enough, and so I have to suffer to make up what he didn't do. It's not talking about objective lack. It's talking about subjective lack. I am filling up what is lacking in my flesh of the sufferings of Christ. Christ's sacrifice is perfect, but it's imperfect in me and imperfect in you. We have to make up in our flesh what is lacking in our participation in those sufferings. And we do this for the sake of the church, which is body. We do it together with him who is the head. And as we allow his sufferings to take greater root in us, that's when we're of greatest use to church, to the Lord, to salvation of souls. So how does the Lord help us to make up what is lacking? Or better, how does the Lord help us so that we might participate far more greatly in his own sufferings, to make up in our flesh what is lacking in our participation? Does it in a couple ways. First, he gives us suffering. He permits it. We see the suffering Jesus himself endured in today's gospel. which is a foretaste of what happened on Good Friday. Jesus goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath, and the scribes and the Pharisees are there to try to catch him. They're not there to worship the Lord. They're there to try to spy on Jesus to see what he would do. Jesus knew it. So he asks a question which is pretty obvious, but it really shows how corrupted they had become. Is it lawful to do good on the Lord's day rather than do evil? He knew that they were precisely doing evil. Is it lawful to save life as he wanted to do to this man with the withered hand? And the Greek there shows that the hand had been injured. He once had a hand that functioned, but maybe he was a mason and got crushed, but regardless, he could no longer work. Is it lawful to save life rather than destroy it, as they themselves were doing? It should be an obvious answer, because God, of course, wants us to do good and to save when we're worshiping him. So he restored this man. And their reaction was not joy. Their reaction was to become enraged. They'd gone to the Sabbath to plot ultimately to kill Jesus. The scribes and the Pharisees would link up with their arch enemies, the lax Sadducees on the one hand, the debauched Herodians on the other, to be able to bring Jesus to death. It is lawful, and not just permitted, but it is according to the law of God, which is a law of love, for us to do good and to save life, not just on the Lord's day, the Sabbath, but on every day. So Jesus comes here and he wants us to live by that law. But he suffered for restoring the real meaning of the law, the real meaning of the Sabbath. The second way Christ seeks to help us make up in our flesh what is lacking in our participation in his own sufferings is through the sacrament. St. Paul is talking about this implicitly in this passage from the letter to the Colossians. Against those Gnostics who didn't believe that matter was good, he was saying, this is the mystery. The Gnostics were always talking about mystery because they knew the answers and nobody else did. And everybody else needed to learn the open sesame, all these other sort of passages that Christ had never passed on the apostles in order to grow in spiritual wisdom. Paul's saying, no, he indulges. It's now been manifested to his saints to whom God has chosen to make the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is this mystery? It's Christ in you. Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in you, body and soul. That God himself would come and dwell within us. Matter wasn't evil. Our lives were not evil. That's precisely what the Lord does in the sacraments, from baptism all the way to the anointing at the other extreme of life. He seeks to come and dwell within us. And this is the great mystery for which Paul was laboring and struggling. When Christ comes to dwell within us from the inside, he starts to enhance our participation in his passion, death, and resurrection. It's not so much what we have to suffer on the outside, just enduring all the rest of it. It's a part of it. Because when we suffer, we're able to relate far more easily to Jesus' suffering. And it's a key that opens up a greater participation. But something far deeper than that is what Jesus himself is trying to effectuate within. That's why Paul rejoiced in his sufferings. It's not only is he helping the church through all that he has endured, Christ is coming to perfection in him, conforming him ever more, as we would have heard on Friday, to him who was the icon of God, the icon of the eternal Father in the flesh. Today the church celebrates the feast of St. Peter Claver, and we see these truths at work. As a young Jesuit, he left Spain to go to Cartagena, Colombia, to care for all those who were suffering because of the trans-Pacific slave trade. People who suffered so much on the journey, suffered so much at the destination. Peter totally inconvenienced himself for the last 44 years of his life to be able to go and care for them. This morning in the breviary, we have one of the most beautiful passages we'll read over the entire year. They're like the letters of St. Francis Xavier in terms of the description of what was really going on. But we read there about his catechesis. As he was dealing with these people who were half dead, some would die very soon, caring for them by emptying wallets full of aromatic scents in order to try to wake them up and show them a little bit of love when they thought that they were being brought across the Pacific to be eaten. He bathed their wounds in wine. He showed them real love, and when they were ready, he catechized. He began with baptism, our entrance into Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection, the huge transformation that it brings, and the help to both body and soul. From baptism, he talked about God in general, the one God, that he is good, that he is loving, that he calls us to be like him, having made us in his image and likeness. And so it leads to an awareness that they're not yet like God, and God wants to bring that about. So they examine their conscience and make an act of contrition. After that, he's able to talk to them about the Trinity, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now God wants us as a member of his family. After that, the mystery of the Incarnation. After that, Jesus' suffering and death. And then they showed them the cross. A cross that they were very much living, bringing it straight back to the baptismal font, where in the baptismal font that he used to baptize over 300,000, you've got Christ's wounds, especially the wound from his heart, overflowing with blood and water, flowing down in the baptismal font. And when they were able to grasp the mystery of the cross, that's when they were ready. Today, as we celebrate this Mass on St. Peter Claver's feast day, we not only ask God, as we prayed at the beginning of the Mass, to help us love our neighbor, not just with warm sentiments, but in deed and in truth. But we ask him in a particular way. He who suffered so much out of love and rejoiced in his inconveniences and sufferings in order to be able to care for those who are suffering more, to give us a similar heart. As this mystery of Christ in us is brought to its human completion in our entering into Holy Communion, so that together we might make up in our flesh what is lacking in our participation in Christ's sufferings. For the sake of the Church, Christ died for, loves, and we're called to serve.